It is. This is an awesome passage here as we are following the Apostle Paul as he is making now his third missionary journey, encouraging. You notice the first couple verses that Sharon read there, he was encouraging them, encouraging the people throughout the regions where he had gone and preached the gospel. He was wanting to go back and just check in to see how they were doing and making sure that the gospel had taken root in their hearts. And we see the need for encouragement for all of us. Hopefully when you come to church here on Sundays, you are encouraged when you leave. And that doesn't mean that sometimes there aren't some things and maybe you're like, boy, I need to think about that. Maybe I better be a little more considerate about how I come across, the spirit in which I speak, things like that. There is a time where we have conviction. And conviction is a good thing. That's not bad either. It's an encouragement to be more like Christ. And he never condemns us. And that is the beauty of the Christian message. Ours is not one of condemnation. It is one of encouragement and strength. And then when we do make mistakes, and we do fall short of the glory of God, which all of us do, that God is not here to kick us while we're down. He's here to pick us back up and to put us back on the path. And the preaching of the good news of Jesus, just listen, as Paul sees his, or kind of demonstrates his concern to the people that he is writing to. In Galatians, he says, let us not become weary in doing good. Now, how many of you get weary in doing good sometimes? Oh, nobody. Okay, that's good. I'm glad you don't. I do, so. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Sometimes I'd like to take things into my own hands, but that wouldn't be good. And I think sometimes we can do that. And then the writer of Hebrews says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In other words, as we look at all the garbage going on around us here, remember what Jesus went through. Remember how he was abused and misused. And yet he could look down on the cross on the very ones who did the most unthinkable things to him and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they were doing. So we have that example so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. And that is the challenge. The call for encouragement, and by encouragement we mean exhorting others with an uplifting, cheerful call to worthwhile accomplishment in life, representing Jesus to the world around us. In teaching, the believer is told what to do. In encouraging, he and she is helped to do it. And that's it this morning. I want to encourage you as you walk out your faith in light of the Lord and what he has done for us, that you live in such a way that you bring glory to Christ. Don't be one of those people we read about in the paper. And sad to say, we see many people who get themselves into trouble. And when they do get into trouble, this is the other thing the church is notorious for doing. Instead of reaching out to restore broken and wounded brothers and sisters, what do? Usually when something bad happens in their life, we'll kick them while they're down. Like, well, you can't come back here. You just said this, you just did that, forget it. It's like, no, that's not what we're called to do. Not at all. We're told to restore people and to encourage people and to accept for the grace of God, there go I. And that's the attitude we need to have. And I just love Paul's word to the Thessalonians a couple times here. He says, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And then he says, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Boy, these are words to take to heart. It's like, that's what we need to do. So point number one today is, let's encourage each other. let's be like Paul here. He was going around, and did he have to correct things at times? Yes, he did. In fact, he pleaded with the Galatians, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Sad to say, sometimes respond to truth in that way. It's like, huh, I just don't like you anymore. I thought you were different. And it's like, nah. The Apostle Paul was simply sharing his heart and soul. In fact, he said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And that's every pastor's calling. And that brings me to my second point, the whole thing of the pastor's heart of the Apostle Paul. Just listen to the passage out of Ephesians here. And this is where Paul is ministering, is in Ephesus, and he's sharing. But in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6, this is what he says to him. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you, and he was in prison writing many of his epistles, to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Boy, you know, each one of these sentences could actually be a sermon in themselves. Just think of these words here. And to be humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Do we need that as we work together on like our love feast, hopefully on Thursday night, no one will get upset with someone over how something is cooked? Or, I mean, I've seen crazy things go on. I've seen people get bent out of shape of how they cut a vegetables. It's like, really? it's like, you know, and that's a lot of times. Sometimes I get nervous when we have these things. It's like, oh, Lord, may everyone just get along and have a good night. And it is. We have to be careful because it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. The reason that's there is because it's so easy. The devil is a master at trying to throw things in our path that will divide us, that will split us. And lots of times we're not talking major doctrinal things here. We're talking about likes and dislikes of things. And not church doctrine at all, but just personal things that we prefer over another likes of another person, and then we kind of get at each other because we don't like things that particular way, and it's never good. But Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. What's interesting here, there wasn't any denominations in the New Testament church. It takes man organizing the church to get to that point. And that's what we've had happen. We've had, and again, the denominations were many times formed under very good reasons because the church, the institutional church, had drifted off. It had gotten in places where it shouldn't have been and was doing things it shouldn't be doing and had a spirit that it should not have had. And so the reformers were people who called people back to the Word of God. That's what Martin Luther did. That's what the Wesleys did. That's what they were all about, was calling people back to the Word of God and to do it the way God has it in His Word, not bringing our traditions in. And thus, by doing that, we nullify the Word of God. And many times, that's what happens. But we're called to one Spirit and one faith. And it is. It's not an easy thing, but that's what you and I are called to strive for. And it's my heart as your pastor that we truly take these things to our heart and that we work at it with everything that was within us. And to look at people the way God looks at them, and not as a pain in your backside. And many times that we can get that way. And when you see someone that really irritates you and annoys you, and I'm not just talking about church people, I'm talking about people out there in the world too. We need to want to win people to Christ. And are we going to be able to win them to Christ if we go, and walk away from them? Or if they say something we don't like or disagree with, and we yell, scream, and shout at them, is that going to win them to Christ? And that's what we have got to consider when we are dealing with people in the world around us. And as we look at everyone in our life, and I have people that get to me too, trust me, there are plenty of people that bother me, and I do. In fact, I make it an extra effort. Lord, I pray for this person because, not just because they annoy me, but because we do, we're called to pray for even our enemies, people who would actually be diametrically opposed to what we're doing. We need to pray for them. And that is the example that Paul is setting here for the Ephesians. And he goes into the ministries, that it was he, and he's referring to Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And you take those words, it's like, man, he's just laying it out here very plainly. It's our job as pastors, as teachers, as apostles, and the New Testament church, the prophets, all the different ones that were a part of the ministry team. We have a ministry team in our church. All of us have different giftings and talents. It's exciting. We're on class 3 tonight in our, and we're looking at giftings and talentings in our own life to see what do I specialize in that, and I'm kind of lacking in these areas. And we got some tests that we're doing in this class, and it's exciting. In fact, Dan Jones, Mike is at a conference this weekend, but Dan Jones is going to be leading the class tonight from the River Church over in Minon, because we're working together. It is so neat to see the churches working together and growing in our faith and doing what Paul is saying here to the Ephesians. And that is my calling as your pastor. And this morning we started some new things with the Main Street Church. There's a 9 o'clock contemporary service now at Main Street. Last night, Saturday night, is at Main Street. Some changes, and change doesn't come easy. I think you've heard some of the rumblings of all the things we're walking through, and that's a part of it. But we need to really pray and work through all the changes, that everybody gets on the same page if we're not on the same page, and that we're trying to reach our community. And different people like different styles of music, and that's why we offer the different styles that we do, is because some people don't care for contemporary and some people don't care for traditional. Now, I like both, so I can sing traditional and contemporary, but not everybody does. And so that's why we have it. And we have different styles of preachers. You look at them all. Now, you're going to have Mike the last 2 weeks of October here. I've got a wedding. We got Trish's getting married here on the 18th of October. And or is it the 19th? I think it's the 19th. Yeah, it's the 19th, the Saturday. And so I will be gone that weekend. And then the following weekend, we will be in Cincinnati at another wedding. And my wife's nephew is getting married. And so we're going to be out of town. So Mike is going to come here and share the ministry that he has and the messages that God is laying on his heart. And we have David with his style of preaching, Harry and Brenda, Al, all the different preachers. Now, Dan also, the chiropractor, Dan is a great preacher as well. And all of us are working together. And that is the teamwork idea of the New Testament church, is that we're not in competition with each other. We're working together as brothers, as sisters in the family of God. And you see here in the book of Acts, that is exactly what's happening. Do they have their struggles? Yes, because people have struggles. We always are going to have our battles because of our personalities, our old sinful nature. It can resurrect in a heartbeat. And we should never rationalize, justify, and excuse that. We need to turn from that. But what we see in all these cases is the apostles pleading with people and setting examples and working together. And the next point here is on the importance of teaching. It's interesting to read as we're going through this. In the book of Acts, we see lots of miracles. I mean, resurrections, like Eutychus. You think of Eutychus. What I love here is, I don't know if you noticed in the reading, it says Paul talked on and on. Guess what? The preachers sometimes go on and on. You're sitting out there like, oh, come on. Let's get through this. And at the same time, you know, I always make the statement, the mind can only take what the seat can endure. But also, sermonettes produce Christianettes. So we don't want to be too short. But at the same time, we have to be conscious of length. Now, Paul, he was not going to be here very long. And so he was going on and on. And poor Eutychus fell asleep and fell to his death. It's like, wow. In fact, I had a teacher, and I know I've said this before, but he said at school that if you're going to preach on and on, you better have the power to resurrect them when they fall asleep. So and that's the case. And Paul did. Well, what is interesting, you'd have thought everyone would have just stopped. It was like, wow, a miracle like that. Guess what they did? They went back to Paul speaking right until morning. All night, Paul went through. And they had a time of breaking bread, of having a meal, of sharing. And this was right through the night. And it is, we need to see what he is getting across here is the importance of teaching. That it is important. We get the stuff. And that's what Paul was doing. He said, man, understand what I'm telling you, what I'm teaching you. And Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Now you look at that, it's like, wow. Have we seen that throughout history? Yeah. Do we see it today? People gathering around preachers, preaching what they want to hear. Not necessarily what God's word teaches, but things that are pleasant to the ears. And not, there's no correcting. There's no rebuking. None of that. It's like it's all positive. And guess what? Life is not all positive. Sometimes we have to be corrected. I need to be. That's why I like our ministry team and the fellowship of pastors in Hayward. We talk with each other. We pray for each other. It was so awesome the other day. We had Rich from Ashland. I know I keep saying this, but it is so amazing to have us all praying together for each other, for situations that we're facing in our churches, and we all have our battles, every one of us. But it's neat to have the teamwork attitude that the Ministerial Association has and with our pastoral ministry team. Now, you may think, well, what about some of the things going on with doctrines in our area? Recently, in fact, Mike had never met this individual, nor had I. And if everyone's wondering who Mike is, Pastor Mike is our new pastor of discipleship, and he is working with us here in bringing seminary-level classes to the Spider Lake Church, and not just Spider Lake Church, but the whole Hayward community and our surrounding community. And so we got this call both on the same day from a gentleman about a month ago, wanting to know if he could have a Bible study at one of our church buildings. And I said, well, yeah, I'm pretty much in favor of Bible studies, but I need to get to know you before I would say okay to a Bible study. Because, you know, it depends on what you're teaching in the Bible study. Scripture says to know those that labor among you, not just to just open the door to anyone, because of the warning right here, because sometimes people will come in with their own agendas. Well, sure enough, to make a long story short, this guy was basically a modern Judaizer right out of the book of Galatians that wants to bring into biblical, orthodox, New Testament Christianity that you and I, in order to be in right relationship with Jesus, need to keep the Sabbath on the Saturday, that we need to keep all the Old Testament feasts and special days, and that if we don't, we're in sin. And it's like, that is the exact thing the book of Galatians brings up. But the sad thing is that he's calling into question the church's understanding of that that's not what it really means. And I was like, well, in fact, not just me, all of us, Harry was there, and but just sharing. And what was good is no one lost their cool. We were able to sit there and to discuss this. But to bring across, it's like, no, that is exactly what is being taught in Galatians. Paul to the Romans says, don't let anyone judge you in regard to a Sabbath day, and to the Colossians, all these things. There's numerous references, Hebrews, all these things. And so we had to agree to disagree, because he said that we were in error not making you do these things. And we're saying, no, you're in error trying to say, in order for us to be right with Jesus, that we have to do this. And it's like, that was, in fact, the Council of Jerusalem that we look back at Acts 15. That's what that was over. How much of this stuff from the Old Testament should we be carrying over for Gentiles to keep? And this guy is saying all of it. It's like, no, that is not. And that's what the Judaizers were wanting to do, that they needed to be circumcised. They needed all these things. Now, circumcision is much more of a medical issue than it is a religious issue. But we see these things, and so there are people around, and we must have a discerning spirit. And many times, it's sad, when Jehovah's Witnesses comes to our door, hopefully you're not slamming the door in their face. I want you to be able to know your faith well enough to be able to sit down with them and try to explain to them why you believe as you do, which is different from the way they believe, and centering in on the person of Jesus. And that is the bottom line in this. Who is Jesus? And so when I see a Jehovah, now I think they've marked me out because they don't come anymore, but I always try to talk with them and try to share with them. And again, I don't want to beat them over the head or anything, but I question some of the things they're saying to me, and that's a thing they don't like, is when you start questioning some of the things they have been told. And again, they've been taught by a guy by the name of Charles Russell. And he said he was a Greek scholar. Well, he hadn't even taken Greek. And so, you know, and this was brought out in a court of law way back in the 1800s when all this originally got brought up. And yet they take what his teachings are like we're the ones in error. And again, that's what you see. In fact, that's why a lot of people throw it all out, say, you guys all arguing. It's like, I don't want anything to do with anything religious. And that's why they throw it out. But that is what our calling is as followers of Christ, is to know in whom we believe and be able to rationally, reasonably explain to people why I believe what I do, and not beating them over the head with it, but just lovingly sharing and letting them know who Jesus is in my relationship to him, and the call for all of us to be in relationship. And that's what we see here going on in this situation here. Paul is teaching them those things so they can explain to the world around them, because there was all kinds of religious teachings in those days as well, just as there are today. There's nothing new under the sun. There's always been isms and schisms out there. We have to learn to deal with it. And then the last point I want to look at here is the family atmosphere of the church. They didn't meet in buildings like this. Every once in a while, they could stay in the synagogue for a while, but then they were usually booted out because They were preaching that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies looking forward to the Messiah. And so when that happened, then they would have to gather together in homes. And it was a family atmosphere. And I want to encourage you, if you cannot come Thursday night, I hope you can make every effort to try to come Thursday night to just enjoy this meal, bring a dish to pass, and who knows what we will all have here. I think the council is providing the meat and the refreshments and all that, and everybody else is just to bring a dish to pass. But it's this kind of atmosphere that the New Testament church had, where they gathered, and it's a good thing to sit down and get to know each other over a table of food and to be able to just have better relationships, because you can actually spend some time talking. That's what fellowship time afterwards is, the same basic concept. You get to know each other sitting over a plate of food. And that is very New Testament based, right out of the New Testament church. And then the other thing that they did in these gatherings was they had the Lord's Supper along with that, remembering why we're here, why we're doing these things. It's because of the price that Jesus paid for our forgiveness of our sins, and that he has reconciled us to God. And that's what we're remembering as we go to communion. And so this morning, I want to encourage you as your pastor to have a heart for one another, to love each other as Christ loves you, to pray for each other, to stand beside each other as we go through hard, difficult times, and to not give up on each other, to work together. And it does. It takes work. It's not just an easy thing to do. It was exciting the other night at choir practice to see all the different people from the community. And in fact, people from Silver Bay are coming down to be a part of this community choir here. Yeah, 2.5 hours away. It's like, wow. And we have an awesome choir director. That's why. It is. It's so good. Yeah, it's Holly. And if I counted right, I think there were 9 of us from Spider Lake Church in that group. So that is exciting that we have that many that are singing in the choir. But it is. It's that atmosphere of family that we as Christians, followers of Christ, that we get together with Lutheran and Catholic and United Methodist and Wesleyan brothers and Northern Lights people and sisters, all the ones, we need to treat them as family, not competition. We're in this together. We recognize the differences of approach we might have to some things, but we're preaching and teaching the same Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.